This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You know, guys, it feels great to be back in this ring in the WWF. I mean, the WWF made Hulk Hogan a legend. But you know something? Something happened. And then you people turned on me. The WWF fans drove me out of the WWF. I'm the reason all you people are here. I'm the one that put the WWF on the map. I'm the one that made wrestling as big as it is today. There's nobody in this business that's a bigger icon than I am. I'm the biggest star, past or present, in the wrestling world today, and there'll never, ever be a bigger star than Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring. Who would have thought they would ever seen Hogan and The Rock? It was not the people that drove you out of the WWF. They loved you. They believed in you. And damn it, The Rock believed in you. You are a legend. You are, without a shadow of a doubt, an icon, quite possibly the best ever. And seeing as you are back in the WWF, you talked about headlining, main eventing, WrestleMania after WrestleMania after WrestleMania. Well, Hulk Hogan, The Rock says, how do you feel about headlining one more WrestleMania with The Rock? Yes. It'll be a pleasure to kick your ass at WrestleMania. And by the way, Rock, good luck, because you're going to need it.
Not as much as you, brother.
Oh, wait a minute! Oh, brother! The Rock just drilled Hollywood Hogan! Oh, brother!
The immortal Hulk Hogan versus The Rock at WrestleMania as The Rock bows down to Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
You're pitiful, Rock. After I beat you, Rock, you're going to realize that you're ordinary. You're common. All these millions and millions of fans who were my fans first are going to see me kick your candy ass at 100% of WrestleMania.
You see, Hogan, you can beat The Rock in a tag. You can take a hammer to the back of The Rock's head. You can try to end my career. But the fact remains is there is no way that he's not going to walk into WrestleMania, the biggest match ever. Whoop your candy ass. 1, 2, 3.
A match for the ages. The Rock and Hogan at WrestleMania 1-on-1.
A match that the world thought would never, ever happen.
Hollywood Hulk Hogan. He will make his 10th appearance in WrestleMania. His first in 9 years. And the challenge for Hulk Hogan is the future of the World Wrestling Federation, The Rock.
Wrestling's past. Wrestling's future.
This is WrestleMania, baby.
Place of Nation Wrestling Network, welcome to the latest and greatest episode of PTBN Pedestal. I am Andy Atherton, and yes, this is the Wrestling Network. This is not the Pop Experience. I am back. I've been on a little bit of a hiatus. Evolution and Wrestling Great Debate will be back soon-ish, I'm guessing, I'm hoping. And of course, you all know that James Grunberg has taken over the wrestling version of making Mount Rushmore, and he's doing a great job. But tonight, I am here hosting an episode of Pedestal. Well, co-hosting, because there's a couple of guys here with me. The great Sean Kidd has been pushing and prodding me to get into wrestling. So I went through the recesses of my brain and found a really fun match. Is it a Pedestal match? I don't know, but these two guys are going to break it down with me. First off, the Mississippi Mud Pie, the host of Highway to the Impact Zone, and part of the co-host of Chicken Salad here on this very network, Logan Croslin. Hey, Logan. How you doing, man?
Great, Andy. Great to be back on a podcast with you. It's been a while, so I'm looking forward to talking about our match tonight.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Thank you for being on here with me after I have made this pick. I sometimes when I throw out wrestling stuff, I think people are either going to run for the hills or throw things at me, and you didn't either, so I appreciate that. Also,
no, I can never do that to you, Andy.
keep it time. Also joining me, somebody I have the pleasure of the first time being on a pod with. He is one of the hosts of the pay-per-view previews on the NoSo Network as part of the Chrono NoSo Daily crew. Actually, Logan is part of that too. Mr. Ryan Gray. Ryan, how are you?
Andy, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here as well. Pleasure to finally chat with you, be on a pod with you. You know, just great to be here. That's what I love about this show, that this is actually on my first time here. Like I said, it's such a nice crew here, and it's going to be a different makeup every show. And I finally, got off my ass and got on here. So I'm very happy to be here, especially with you guys. So all the formalities out of the way. So the match I picked is from a show that is sandwiched in between what people argue about on, in this very group on some of the pods here. Sandwiched in between WrestleMania 7. Well, the last one ever see the light of day, who knows? But sandwiched in between WrestleMania 17 and 19, a match on WrestleMania 18, that is Hollywood Hulk Hogan versus The Rock. Now, I picked this match for a few reasons. This match has always been a favorite of mine just because it reminded me, I was 29 when this match, when WrestleMania 18 happened, about 6 months shy of being 30. I was, married, not that long. My daughter was born about 2 months or so after this show. So I was a very little different person then, but what it did was, this match brought me back to being that 14-year-old kid watching, WrestleMania 2 and then watching WrestleMania. My disbelief was suspended during this so much. I bought into this match and I just really ate it up. And the interaction between The Rock and Hogan and the NWO, just to this day, I love it. Let me just throw it around. When I threw out this as my choice, Logan, what made you decide to come on and talk about and watch this show with me, this match with me? Sorry.
Well, I just really wanted to do a pod with you again, but also the match is super iconic. I mean, obviously it's icon versus icon. That's the whole thing on the videotape box. It's just a match that the crowd is so into and so all over the place, Bizarro World, Canada's always Bizarro World in Toronto, especially. You have half the crowd cheering for Hogan, you have half the crowd cheering for Rock. And honestly, it's almost a little bit more in Hogan's favor, which is kind of weird because he's supposed to be the heel in this situation. And he had pretty scummy in the build to this match. But just one that I kind of wanted to revisit. I hadn't watched WrestleMania 18 in a while, so I really just wanted to watch the match again. But I also just wanted to do a pod with you, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you, Logan. Yeah, it is. This was amazing. I rewatched this match, not that long ago actually, and then I rewatched it again, in prep for the pod. And yeah, this is a bizarre. I couldn't have predicted what was going to happen with the crowd and everything. Ryan, what made you decide you'd like to come and chat about this match?
Well, it's just going off what you guys said in with the whole pedestal formula of historical value, match build, and what the actual match is, and then just the different flavors of matches, especially today with all the with the athleticism and the high flying and the spots and all that stuff, and then just to kind of go back in history, but really not too far back in history, but just to kind of watch an Attitude Era collide and a Golden Era collide into the Ruthless Aggression Era, just the whole mix of it all just really, is a nice appetizer or whatever for everything, or a nice dessert on the Attitude Era and a nice appetizer for the Ruthless Aggression Era. It's just a masterclass of psychology. It's the structure and the layout is fantastic. And honestly, the work rate is better than you would say or anticipate. It's just quite a unique presentation to look at within this formula of Pedestal. So I'm all for it. I'm ready to get into it.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say this is a classic wrestling match, but if you look at it from sports entertainment, you know, that's really what I, at its finest, really, it really is. It's a spectacle. It's definitely a match that really fits in with WrestleMania, I think. Well, we'll talk about this stuff more when we get in. So the build, really, I mean, it starts off really when they meet backstage, right? Do you guys agree with me? Well, probably one of the greatest Rock isms ever is when he meets the NWO, because he does the picture, and then he basically goes off on all three of them. Ryan, what do you think of that one little backstage segment with the Rock and NWO? Because to me, that is probably my all-time favorite backstage segment.
Yeah, you get the Rock staring at Big Daddy Cool, and then the bad guy Chico, and then the bad guy Chico alluding to their past WWF personas, and then he looks at Hulk, and as soon as he looks at Hulk, you're like, oh fuck, I want to see that.
Yeah, I love that. You give it to him, you give it to Hogan. Like, his whole demeanor changes from like making fun of them, being like, to dead serious. Logan, what are your thoughts on that thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he does the little when he makes fun of Diesel, Big Daddy Cool there. And then he does, obviously, the Chico thing with Razor Ramon. So a couple of good imitations there. But yeah, as soon as he locks eyes with Hogan, he's like serious and in the zone. And you know right off the bat that even if you might not see this match at WrestleMania, you want to see it at some point. But obviously, this was a match that they had to have. So, but yeah, as soon as you have that little face-to-face, you know it's going to be something special.
Yeah. Yeah, it is so much fun. And they go back and forth with all the matchups. And Hogan is still – he's not – I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of them bringing the NWO in – at when they did. I mean, I thought a lot of time had passed and in different incarnations that comes up, you know, I was mediocre. I mean, I got to tell you, I loved the NWO in the heyday during the Monday Night Wars, but I just thought that this being a clashing of the eras, it was a great title, icon versus icon. Logan, what are some of your parts of the build that you loved?
The whole attack, they meet in the ring for the first time, and the Rock challenges him, but then the NWO just kind of absolutely beat the shit out of him. They all have their finishers on him. Hogan actually hits him with a hammer. He eventually gets loaded into they do the spray painting, obviously. He gets loaded into the ambulance, and they kind of back the ambulance out to a parking lot and just run it over like two or three times with a truck. So it's pretty brutal to start off with. And, you know, the Rock's really not there, but I think he makes two SmackDowns in a Raw, and in one of the Raw, they have a handicap match with him and Austin against the three members of the NWO, Raw before Mania. So the Rock really is only on like four of like the eight or nine shows in between No Way Out and here. I don't know if he was filming a movie or if he really had injuries he was dealing with, but I really like the whole ambulance Mack truck kind of deal that they did there. And I like that they kind of teamed up Austin and Rock to kind of go against this huge force that was coming from the other side of the company. Some of the promos that Hogan cut, I feel like he was really trying to force the fact that he was still a bad guy. You could tell his heart wasn't super into some of the promos, but I thought all the in-ring stuff and the attacks and stuff like that were all pretty solid throughout the build, of course.
Yeah, and building off of Hogan, you know, doing everything, you know, being the beating monsters, Russians, by slamming the 700-pound Andre the Giant, he claimed, you know, that the fans turned on him, drove him out of the WWE, and then The Rock came out to, like, stand up for the people, basically. And that's kind of, you know, sometimes it doesn't take a lot to start a WrestleMania feud. It just takes one little thing, and you just, it's like It just picks up steam from there, like goes down a snowball, like it just snowballs from there. And when you have two of the greatest of all time, you know, that just happens. You put things together, magic just happens. Ryan, what are some of your favorite parts of the build to the Mania match?
I actually think that the build might be the weakest part of the three categories, but overall, totally fine and memorable. Did they need to attempt a murder with a tractor trailer truck? I'm not sure, but it was super
Vince,
memorable.
Vince is a fan of vehicular manslaughter, so it seemed like
that might be a Logan problem. But regardless,
yeah, I'm just a sick son of a bitch.
But regardless, it's super memorable. You did mention that The Rock was gone for the most part of this, but I did enjoy when when Hulk cut that promo on The Rock cutout. So that was super fun and entertaining. And just the tone of it. And, you know, let's not forget the go-home Raw was a little bit disappointing, where they had the handicap match with the three NWO guys versus Stone Cold and The Rock. It was fine. You wish it was more, but that kind of just left a little... just a little appetizer that just didn't really deliver, but it was overall fine. And just seeing that the epic encounter between all those legends in the ring at once, really, you can't go wrong with it, regardless of the outcome of how it turned out. But overall, I would say very memorable.
Yeah, I think they were trying to make up for like 2 years or so of missing out because of all the giant contracts the people that like Nash, Hall, Hogan, everybody had with Turner, that they couldn't be part of the invasion. I think they were trying to really just squeeze everything in. Maybe they rushed things. Maybe they were just a little, you know, too late on it. I mean, just imagine the invasion if the big contract guys were available to be part of it. I mean, we probably would have been talking about the greatest, you know, thing in the history of wrestling probably at that time, because even the writers probably couldn't have screwed it up with having like Goldberg and it would have been nuts. Could you just imagine what that would have been like if you had these big money guys instead of like your Sean Stasiaks and your O'Hare and your Jindrak and you know, just your kind of lower level guys. All right,
main event, Mike Sanders.
It's above average, Mike Sanders, dude. All right. So, what are we gonna rate the feud and the build? Logan, I'll start with you. What are you giving out?
I'd probably go I think I'd probably go about 3.5 on it. I kind of like the attack with the tractor trailer and the ambulance and all that. As much as the promos from Hogan didn't really have the passion that I would have expected from him, I do think it came from a real place. I do think that the, you know, fans turning on him back in the day did kind of like affect him and really kind of piss him off and make him really want to change himself as a wrestling character and become what he eventually became. So I do think, despite the fact that he didn't deliver it with like the passion or the gusto that you kind of want him to, I think it came from a real place. So that made it feel real. And the promos that The Rock did cut, I thought were pretty well done. The whole challenge and all that went along with it. So like Ryan said, I definitely think this is the weakest part of the trilogy that we're going to go through. But I definitely would go 3.5 on it.
Okay. All right. Ryan, what do you give the rating?
Yeah, I was bouncing around myself before Logan stole my thunder with a 3.5, but I'm going to stick with my thunder and go 3.5. Less might have been more, but there wasn't much. You know, don't forget, this started it, and they didn't come until No Way Out, which is in this WrestleMania was early. This WrestleMania was St. Patrick's Day, so really, what's that, 4 weeks? And the Rock missed 75% of it, so there really wasn't much time to really have interface to go off of each other. But when they did, they kind of jammed all the gusto into it. And so I don't want to say less would have been more, because they kind of had to ramp it up, but it's a little wonky, but it's super memorable, super effective because of the star power. But the story before the feud and the story leading into the match doesn't really play into the match for the most part, but it plays into a little bit, as we'll get into. So overall, I go very good at 3.5.
Yep. Since I'm my first time here, I'm just gonna go 3.5 as well. I like the build. I really enjoy it. But yeah, if it was a little longer, worn out. Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, when you kind of go with 2020 glasses on it, yeah, it doesn't exactly, you know, matter some stuff in the match. But I do agree that Hogan was definitely looking that he was in the twilight of his in-ring, and that he was looking to get back to being that baby face, that red and yellow. So I think definitely, you know, he was trying to get through his last part of being Hollywood Hogan, I guess. I don't know if that sounds crazy or not. I don't know. But I do like the build. It's a fun build, but it could have been a little bit better, I think. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to get into the match now. So we are watching this on the Peacock, and we're all paused at 2 hours, 24 minutes and 8 seconds, right when we go to Scott Hall and Kevin Nash backstage. Hall is bitching and moaning about his loss to Austin. So guys, are you ready?
Ready.
On my count, 3, 2, 1, play.
So this is Hall coming off the loss to Hogan, to Stone Cold. Yep. And he still wants the NWO to come out on top, pretty much. So that's where we're at with this.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I always, you know, I like I said, I love the NWO. I never saw Hogan, Hall, and Nash being like buddies. Like, I always thought it was a little weird. Like, it made the splash, you know, for Hogan to be part of it, and it really did develop and evolve. But I always thought, I don't know, Hogan was never like, they were just apples and oranges to me.
Good business partners, let's put it that way. Yeah, this is Hogan. Yeah. So this is Hogan telling them, "Hey brothers, I'm going out there alone. No NWO."
Yeah, he was just like the he was just like the rich old dude that they hung out with. Well, he wasn't like really a friend. He was just like their benefactor, their, you know, cool old buddy that they might hang out with every now and then.
So Hulk got him into the expensive golf club?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we get to see a hardcore title change here too.
Yeah, to see that too.
Yes. Is this Molly the Christian Holly one?
Yeah.
Yes. This is low key kind of brutal what he does to her.
So like a half door, like, knocks her right out, and then it's Christian.
Those wind pants are so 2002. with the button ups. Yeah,
that outfit is like the most 2002. Friggin' sports tank top and then the breakaway pants. And Christian had lost to DDP earlier in the night, so this is a big win for him.
So, all right, so we get the title card here for the Hogan and the Rock.
And we get, "Make me a superstar," play over it. That was the theme song for this one.
Oh, God.
We have to dove in the music. Or Logan has to sing it, either or.
I would say, trust me, my rendition just now was much better than the actual song.
All right, so we got Hogan with the white and the yellow. Oh, excuse me, the red and the yellow, little, but it's in black and white. Okay, yeah. All Hogan's past is in black and white here. Nice little touch.
Let me go back to show that WrestleMania 9.
Yeah.
So. I know I'm one of the older guard, but did you guys watch the show live? I mean, Logan, I know you're like a zygote compared to me. Ryan, I don't know. I don't exactly know how old you are, but you guys remember watching this live?
Yep. I'm a sophomore at this point. Okay. So I definitely got this one. I think my buddies in high school ended up coming over, or my selected hand few of wrestling fans holding on. So I definitely remember watching this one in my living room with a select few friends.
Yeah, I was 9 at the time, so we weren't getting pay-per-views yet. So I had this one on tape pretty close after, though, and I watched it a bunch of times. So,
I
did not watch it live. I won't lie.
Yeah, I remember being. I couldn't go that far because my ex-wife was, like I said, about 7 months pregnant at this point. So I couldn't stray that far. But my friend lived, you know, 5 minutes from me, and he was ordering. And it's actually somebody who I watched. You know, grew up friends since high school, watched more wrestling than anybody in my life. So yeah, it was so much fun getting to watch this with him because he was a Hulkamaniac when we were younger.
Very cool. Is he still into it?
Why did we have to show WrestleMania 9? Why?
he's still into wrestling. Yeah, he still is. I don't think he's a Hulkamaniac anymore, but
Very cool. I like to know. That's always my thing. Like, oh, my buddy used to do it. I still want to know. Is he still into it? Like, that's where kind of my, my curiosity always wanders that way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where The Rock challenges him in ring and then drops him with a rock bottom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Hogan gets it back, whipping him with the belt.
Yeah, a little preamble mm-hmm. to the match. Oh, so this is where they get send him off packing for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, here comes Logan's favorite part.
Vehicular homicide.
Yeah.
or attempted vehicular homicide, at least. It is kind of hokey, but I thought it was a real brutal way to kind of take him out. So
it works. It's memorable. That's for sure. You know, you kind of
thought it was
a little mix of wonk and serious. This is nothing wrong with that.
And I thought it was crazy that they let Hogan pin him on Raw coming in. I mean, obviously he's not going to pin Austin, but I figured that handicap match would have ended in a smaz. But he leg drops him and pins Rock 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring.
I think the, and we'll talk about this as we go through the match. I think The Rock understood what his job was in this feud. Like, and Hogan, I know there's been so much talk about Hogan and Austin, whether, you know, neither wants to do the job and blah, blah, blah. But I think The Rock understood, like, he's got a bump for him, but, you know, he'll get the rub in the end. Because it really meant more to him than it would have, you know, Hogan. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, love the NWO music.
Yeah, I don't even think it was more Hogan that wanted to do the job. I think Austin was just, like, terrible to deal with at this point. Yeah. He was not going to lose. And, I mean, maybe Hogan had a little bit of, you know, quandary with it, but I think he probably would have laid down for Austin, too. But I think Austin was just being a pain in the ass.
Sure, a little money, too. I'm sure the loser wanted more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
That sounds right with those two. But, yeah, look at Toronto loves Hulk. He's done so much business up there.
Mm-hmm.
Look at him. He just knows he has him, too, taking a slow walk. And everyone's just, like, bowing down to him. Fucking Hulk's a legend.
Yeah. And just that that music. I never had been in an arena live with it until, I can't remember what year it was. It was right before Hogan got in trouble with some of the things he said in the past when they had Hulk Hogan Appreciation Night at Madison Square Garden. And I was at that live, and he came out, and Hall and Nash were there also coming out to the NWO music. Actually, Hogan came out to Real American, actually, but Hall and Nash came out to the NWO music.
Yeah, it's like 2015, 14, yeah. Late 14, early 15-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my kids were, my son was small, and he's 15 now, almost 15.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I want to say that was the go home to SummerSlam 14, if I remember correctly, because I think that was before Brock kills Cena.
Look at Hogan just taking his time, man. Oof. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Boa and all, just
inspiring a young Kyle O'Reilly playing the air guitar.
Yeah, still.
Did you see that little precursor where he does the elbow, where he does the headband, but he rips the shirt instead. He's too cool for it. Does the guitar stroke, rips the fucking shirt. I love it. A little nuance. we're not in black and white anymore.
Yeah, as much as I love the Fink. Oh man, do you think they should have gotten Michael Buffer for this match?
I smell a little WCW mark in you.
I know. No, I just, you know what? To me, the NWO is always a WCW thing.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't love, I hated that they put Booker T in it. Sean, I think, always wanted to be a member of the NWO, and they appeased Sean by letting him be in it. Because if he had his druthers when he was being a royal asshole during the Monday Night Wars, when, like, the nights when him and Nash would give the two sweet sign to each other on live TV. You know, I mean, you know, he would have. I mean, I remember I was at the show when he was walking around backstage with an outsider shirt on. So,
when they throw Michaels in when Hall got in trouble and left or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. You know, they brought him. It was when he had returned after a long absence. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, any time after Hogan was out, it was on life support. So. I mean, they had to rush it, and I mean, you have to turn him face after this because of the reaction he gets. So, So, I mean, it probably didn't need to last anything past maybe a month or so after this, but they were going to go with it as long as they could, and they probably went a month or two too long because they started adding Spock and Big Show and Booker, like you said. So,
yeah, I mean, it did, you know, they still were moving NWO merch, so. Mm-hmm. I still have an NWO shirt. Don't fit me, but I have an NWO shirt. I had a Wolfpack shirt too. I don't know what happened to it,
though. Yeah, I have a Wolfpack shirt at my parents' house. It does not fit anymore, but I still have it.
So we're at a disadvantage here with the sound off.
I know.
Yeah. But it's all right. I watched it before with the sound on, with anticipation of having the sound off. So I kind of wanted to get hyped for it anyways.
I mean, this is Rocky, this right here.
Hogan, Rocky. Yeah, that's just, you got to manage that.
Yeah, this is something that at the Performance Center, when they're showing the kids how to live the moment and how to get the crowd hyped up, how just to take your time just watching these guys. They're just getting to, the crowd is just bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. This crowd wants to burst so bad, and these guys are just making it. Just the anticipation just kill everybody.
Oh yeah, it's great stuff. Look at them, both staring the other way.
Yes.
Now they're both.
Yeah, so this face off with all the cameras flashing and the crowd going wild in the background is just all time cinematography right here.
Yeah, the zoom out is epic.
And they're not even looking at each other; they're just looking at how batshit crazy the crowd's going. So.
And it's just making the crowd like. Crazier too as it goes. Now they're like, all right, let's go. Come on, it's time to go.
Here we go. Yeah, Zay, get out of that. And bravo.
Yeah.
Zay and JR is talking about all the matchups we'll never see. Ali's never going to face Tyson. Barry Bonds is never going to go against, I don't know what pitcher he says. I'm Nolan Ryan, maybe, but he just goes through all the sports matchups we'll never see from generational gaps. Making the
comparison. Wow, look at this. Hogan's already in the babyface stuff, too. Yeah. When he's quote-unquote the heel. In the match. Oh, my God. Look at him. They're going fucking nuts. And all he did was throw him to the ground.
And did the pose, giving him he's doing the Rock, bring it.
Can you imagine the goosebumps these guys must have right here?
Oh, yeah. And I guarantee you, backstage, everybody's watching the monitors.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was at WrestleMania 30 when these two guys in Austin came out and just cut a promo. I can only imagine being, and I had goosebumps then, so I can only imagine these two in the match. So,
yeah, especially the guys who, like, grew up wrestling fans. I mean, you watch, you know, you see some of those clips, like, of, like, Xavier Woods, like, popping when Batista comes out and stuff like that, you know. I mean, that's just incredible. I could barely contain myself if I was back there.
God, oh, my crowd. God. Look at these people, man. He just hooks up. Oh, so simple. He had more light in that headlock than I did. You could fit two heads on that headlock the way he was holding that thing. That was loose as a goose.
He puts his line in the sand.
Look at this, still work of the crowd, and we're what?
Yes.
We're 6 minutes post-bell. Hulk Hogan doesn't even have his bandana off yet.
He's still got the weight belt on, too. Look at Rock selling the knee to the solar plexus. Tell you, the Rock bumps like a son of a bitch, man. Tell you.
He sure does.
Oh, yeah, and that's elating the crowd even more. Mm-hmm. Jeez. He's bumping like a heel for the Hogan babyface feed, and Hogan's, you know, their precursor here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting it up how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, Zan Rock's so good at picking up on the crowd. I think he realized that this is how he should definitely take the match. So he definitely picked up on that and was, you know, feeding off of them.
and the Rock is such an accomplished heel that he could flip a switch.
They literally flip a switch in a few minutes where the Rock starts playing baby and Hulk has some heel tendencies and tactics.
Mm-hmm. That's again why I love this match, because it just brings you up and down in so many directions. You know, I bit on near falls. I mean, I'm like, literally, I'm like almost 30 years old. I've watched wrestling since WrestleMania 2, and it was just like, you know, I couldn't believe it. I was just so into the match that I was like on the edge of my seat.
Hogan tries the butt over the top. Yeah, yeah. No, it doesn't work for me, brother. Takes a spill to the outside of the leaf.
I'm going to go underneath the ropes, brother.
If I go over, I'm going to tear my ACL, brother.
I'm going to break the other hip.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable how they take turns here, and they just keep the crowd at really 11 the whole time. They go, what, 18 minutes? Not even?
I have the wiki up here, like any good host should have. 16:23 is the time per the Wikipedia on the interweb here.
And it feels like nothing. It feels at the end of the match, it feels like a 30-minute classic because you're so tired and exhausted from being so invested.
And the Rock pose for the, you know, Rock Bottom, and then Hogan blocks it. Mm-hmm. Just drops him with a couple of punches.
I love this blue too, with the white and the black.
Yeah, nice.
But Hogan.
No, yeah.
With the lightning, yeah.
Look at Hulk. Get down, bro.
Big elbow.
With the brutes, yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget who I really am. Oh, a piece of shit. Hulk reminds you every match what he really is.
You know, Kyoto's giving him the business. Yeah,
Kyoto's.
Yeah, no, that was the thing in the build too. He would start every promo like thanking the fans for being fans of him for so long, but then he'd be like, "But you assholes turned on me and turned your back on me." And I had to change my persona, and now you act like you love me now, but I know you really don't, because you'll turn on me again as soon as I, you know, don't do exactly what you want me to do.
Was he supposed to hit a boot or something there?
Yeah, they missed the boot. That's why they throw him in the ropes right here for a real quick. That's what, you know, Rock was supposed to do that as he was running at him. That's why it looked a little clunky. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. you could fit a fucking Bible underneath those punches.
That was quite a clunky spear tackle thing there.
Yeah, but you don't even realize it unless you look deep, because they just got you.
Nice, you know, belly to the back, side suplex there.
Mm-hmm. Like, come on, Hulk, get on that ass.
Two.
A abdominal stretch. Hulk already grabbing the tights.
Yeah, we're starting to get into the heel Hulk part of the match.
It's his turn, brother.
Yeah.
You know, we you know, that side of the crowd that's chanting Rock, we need them to come back up, you know? It's kind of crazy how they build that, where they both can play baby, because they're, you know, they think they're 50-50. It's probably really 70-30, but, you know, you want to give that 30% chance, their chance to shine with the cheer and for their comeback and whatever.
Can you guys think of another match that's like this, that has this kind of back and forth baby face heel dynamic?
Rock Cena pops in my head, but no, it wasn't. It was most Cena was hated. So
yeah, I was gonna say.
I hate the back scratch.
Not off the top of my head. If I really thought about it, I probably could come up with something. But this is kind of an outlier match in history for sure. That's what makes it so epic.
Yeah.
I wonder if Toronto is the best place to have this. I wonder what other arenas would, you know, we would get this response. Probably MSG, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe Philly or Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at Hulk biting, piece of shit.
I don't know about Chicago.
No.
Yeah, Chicago just kind of hates who they think who the company is says you're supposed to like, and likes who they say you're not supposed to.
Well, I'm just thinking about the Big Four, mm-hmm. old school Northeast WWF towns. You know, so Toronto being one of them.
Mm-hmm. I love the Rock picking up Hogan's chin and slapping him.
Oh, look at that little choke slam by the Hulkster.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, look at that weak ass choke, though. Jeez.
Oh, yeah, he did like three or four times in the build, and I'm like, come on. He does it to Austin, and Austin doesn't fucking sell it at all. It's pretty hilarious, actually.
Oh, it's choking him with the tape.
Is this Hulk Hogan or Jim Duggan?
Tough guy!
Hogan's getting more and more tan, more tired and ready he's supposed to get.
Yeah. Oh, by the end of this match, he looks like he aged 20 years from the beginning to the end.
Oof. Yeah, he looks like he ran a half marathon afterwards.
Hogan was never known for his stamina.
Oh, beautiful throw on the outside. Mm-hmm. Making Hulk look like $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody quite took a throw over the top rope like The Rock. He did it in a very special way.
old WCW, that'd be a DQ. God, that was such a stupid fucking rule. He's still annoying me.
Imagine if Bill Watts booked AEW. Oof.
It'd probably be just as boring. I'm just kidding.
Action on the outside here.
No comment.
Who knows? The dog collar match probably would have been better.
The budget on TV monitors, WWF. Actually, this is the last WWF, I think, big event because they rebrand to WWE right after this.
Yeah, they get the That's F true. Out.
They get the F out, yeah.
Look at The Rock here.
Nightmare for everybody who worked in production for WWF in terms of blurring and everything.
Look at now, Kyoto's turning heel. Come on, man.
You can't use that belt, Hogan.
They actually make it through Backlash as WWF, and then they switch. So,
okay.
But this is the last Mania under WWF. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I was trying to think if it made it to the next pay per view, but I thought it did. But yeah.
Oh, beautiful ref! Oh, what a timing on that ref bump! Beautiful.
Now, did you guys think that Hall and Nash were going to come out now?
Something was going on. Now that they both had their chance to play baby and they both had their chance to play heel, now it's heat time and anything's necessary. Let's get after it type of thing.
Yeah.
That's how the structure of the match is going to go here, I assume.
This is a solid ref bump.
Yeah. Nice. Kyoto was great. Great timing. So now that they're up, who's going to make it up? Double knockdown. Yeah. Oh, look at the zoom out. Very ultimate challenge-ish right there, WrestleMania 6. But zoom out with the double knockdown. Hulk's up. Oh, jeez. That was a very gentle double leg takedown.
The sharpshooter, which is a, quite the move in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Get the heat, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying his absolutely horrendous version.
Yeah, when anybody but Brett does it.
Hulk is Hulk gonna tap? Well, he's out, but all right, so there's the break, right? So you're supposed to break, nice guy Rock. Come on, nope, the ref's out. So anything's necessary. Oh, and Hulk's gonna give him
Hogan's
a tap.
Hogan's tapping!
He gave that to the Rock. That's huge.
Yeah. By God, Hogan's tapping.
My God.
Vehemently,
ref is gone.
Get your ass up, Kyoto.
What a damn referee.
He's like a rag doll. He's like, poof, get up.
Classic overseller, Mike Kyoto.
Low blow.
Oh, he's still right to
right to the people's strudel. He nailed him in the strudel.
Oh, here comes Kyoto.
One, two. Oh! I mean, they pop big time for Hogan hitting the Rock Bottom.
Yeah, if the Richter scale hasn't been broken yet either. All right, here we go. Hogan, anything necessary. Here comes the belt, baby. Well, time to heal it up some more, guys.
And we get the classic JR line. He's ripping him like a government mule!
Oh.
Yeah, we even
gonna hide off the Rock's back.
Granted, Hulk even did this when he was a baby.
It's hysterical. When Hogan was a babyface, he did so many heel things that just because he was Hogan, though, he got away with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But then you watch back now as an adult, and you're like, well, this guy was actually kind of a scumbag.
He was.
It's fitting.
Yeah, it works if now that you know what kind of a human being he is, but yeah.
Bobby the Brain was right. Oh, now the Rock says, all right, you're going to whip me. I'm going to whip you now. Look at him. He's milking it in between every goddamn whip, too.
Mm-hmm. He's about to tan his hide.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he spits on.
A little extra flavor for it. Does he walk into a Rock Bottom yet? Oh, yeah. It's kind of, I can see that coming, baby.
Ouch.
Boom. This is where they get to 12. Goosebumps. Goosebumps still. You knew it was covered.
Yes. And look at Rock's face. Oh, God.
Yep. Crab's losing.
This is bananas. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
The acting
like, facials. I have mute on, I can hear it in my head.
Yep.
What
yep.
You're going to
And the Rock's facials are great.
Yes. One, two.
Look at the snap of the punches. They're just locked in.
Off here. The ropes. Big boot.
He beat Andre the Giant with that move. That's what he says. Yes.
Good leg drop, though. Oh, Rock.
Oh. Now, Hogan's, what do I got to do, brother?
I bit for it. I do admit, when I saw this live, I bit right there.
Yep, absolutely. I think we were all standing up live, too, and being like,
yeah.
We all wanted Hogan. I mean, we all wanted The Rock because we're all attitude in our heads, but still. Well, Max in high school still.
What a Mac.
Fucking Mac.
Oh, this is great, too.
As a Kyoto, you've been decked at this point. Don't get on somebody for a freaking close fist. They've used a weightlifting belt. Come on, man.
Oh, another Rock Bottom.
Beautiful camera shot with the flashing there too as he hits.
Yeah.
Everyone taking their pictures back in the day with the flash.
Oh yeah. I don't even know. Did I even have a cell phone in 2002? I think yeah, I did. I did have a cell phone.
It was definitely a Nokia Razor.
It might have been.
Oh, definitely a brick phone.
Not one, but here's the second Rock Bottom.
Well, wasn't it Zach Morris? No, not quite. With the kip up.
Look at this. Look at them come. They've come in for this. Well, not physically, but they're coming for this people's elbow here.
Oh, Jesus. Push out, shot.
Boom, hit the rug. Sweet time. Boom.
Yeah, the people's elbow is as good a finisher as the leg drops are.
It's about as a token off of it. You see Hogan quiver when he hits it? Mm-hmm. And that's it, boys. Oh, wow, awesome.
Three.
Yeah, we would stay with it, though, through the whole post-match. Yeah, it was just...
I do like that he won it with the people's elbow, though. It gives it a little bit different vibe.
Yeah, it's fitting with Hogan with his leg drop and to finish him with two Rock Bottoms. And then the people's elbow, because that's Hogan brings the crowd when he's going for that leg drop. So The Rock knew he had the crowd, and as it did, even when we couldn't hear it, but we saw it coming physically, the crowd came as soon as he kicked up and went for the people's elbow. So it's a nice fitting touch into both of them. Sheesh.
Yeah, it wasn't a schmaz. It wasn't a roll up. It was. You know, let's hit him with this iconic move and basically like pass the torch. That's the only way it could have ended. Yeah, the Rock Bottom would have been cool if it ended on a Rock Bottom, but the people's elbow. I mean, you had to hit. There was, you know, you have your check boxes. You have box you have to check. You have, you know, for the Rock, it's the Rock Bottom, people's elbow, kip up. You know, and for Hogan, he's got to Hulk up. He's got to hit the, you know, the three punches, the off the ropes, the big boot, the leg drop. So definitely, yeah, had to end on one of those.
Yeah, very fitting because it's the same formula, two different players.
Yeah.
Same coaching staff, different formula.
Same formula. Yeah,
Hogan. I'm like, seriously, he looks like he aged 20 years since from walking out from the back till this moment.
The Rock whipped that ass, man.
He does.
Yeah, plus the people's elbow is just kind of the exclamation point on it all. He could have beaten him easily, but he had to add that extra little piece to the end. And
Hogan looks so tiny here too. I mean, you know, yeah, we were younger, but Hogan was like ginormous.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, they built him as 6'8". That, you know, back when he was, you know, feuding with Andre, you know, the old man holds out the hand here. Selling that sign. He's like, you knew my dad. Okay. Great handshake.
Look at Hogan. He's giving him his moment, but he knows he's putting himself over by giving him that moment.
Yeah.
I will say I wouldn't have been too surprised if he had ball shot at him there. But I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, they hit the Rock's music again. But Hogan is definitely putting Rock over.
Oh, yeah. Now, Rock has come out to say that Hogan called this whole match. He just listened.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, you know, Hogan probably finally realized, like, I can't be the man. I'm in the, you know, the latter half here, man. Just winding down. I got to put this guy over him. I'm sure him and Rocky Johnson. How long? Who knows?
Rocky Johnson met with these guys beforehand, just to put it out. Look at this. Now they're pissed at him. This is a great.
Yeah, hey, yo, what are you doing, man?
Why are you shaking? He hits him with a toothpick, and Nash just hauls off on him.
Look at Hogan, too. Oh, dead. He's like, dude, I'm tired. I fucking went 20 minutes. I haven't got 20 minutes.
Don't hurt me anymore, please.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes the Rock. Oh, the crowd's going back. How did the crowd have any energy left? Look at Nash. Sound like the fucking champ, too. Oh, great bump for Nash.
That's why the main event is such a shit show.
Oh, right over the Nash, too.
Yeah, because we still got two matches. But
to the build for that match, too, they did not build it well either. So it should have died the fate that it did. Even
brutal. The build was Stephanie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they kill the dog, and like, that's just so stupid and unnecessary and all that.
Yeah, do you think this match should have main evented?
Oh,
absolutely.
It should have, yeah. But you know, at the time, God and his, the billion dollar princess weren't going to let that happen.
Yeah. I don't know what's more egregious. This not main eventing or 25 with Hulk, I mean, with Shawn and Taker not main eventing. I don't know which one hurt the show more.
Yeah.
But now
that I think this one had the star power to do it. I think Orton and Triple H should have main evented. It just should not have been the match that it was, because that they had the feud going in. It just it didn't go.
It had great build. It had great build. It's just the whole what if, you know, the whole shoulda, coulda, woulda. But I always thought this, and it confirmed it today to myself. I'm like, can you imagine after Hall and Nash leave here, if they played Real American?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Where he grabs him and pulls him back in to do one more pose for the crowd, to do one more Hulk up, the whole kit and caboodle. Can you imagine if they played Real American right here? The roof would have blown off this place, because it was already, the bolts were already loose from the friggin' match. The place would have gone up in smoke if they played Real American. I remember thinking that live, and I remember thinking that on rewatches, and then today I'm just like, oh, they had to. Why didn't they?
Or at least play, you know, pay the, you know, little scratch for Voodoo Child, since that's Hogan's song.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, maybe if you want to save Real American for when he, you know, goes back to, you know, the red and yellow. But yeah, it would have been, I think, as much as this crowd had popped for this whole time, it would have been, the roof would have blown off the Sky Dome.
Look at these. Unbelievable. Look at him too. He's so charismatic, man. There's no one can touch him here.
Yeah. And The Rock is just being like an audience surrogate right there.
He's like, I got a lot to learn in this fucking business.
I don't know. He's like, I'm never going to touch this guy. I better get out now.
He's pretty damn good at that point. But yeah, he just, he's like, no.
Oh, yeah, they still have the crowd. They're 30 minutes in here at post entrance, and they still got the fucking crowd.
Oh, my God. This is so much fun. And then Hogan's just loving it, man. He's just, ah.
The big smile, man.
$1 million smile right there, that kid.
Yeah, that smile made him some money, huh?
Yeah, he's good. He's going to do some things.
Look at him. This is cool. He's thanking him here too. You can tell, you know, Rock's always appreciative. He did it with Cena. He's done it with all his big matches. He's just the man.
Yeah.
So look at all. I love it. Hold the ropes with the old guy.
Yeah.
He fucking made you right tonight, brother. Too bad.
You think Hogan's legit hurt? Because he's been. I never remember Hogan being that good of a seller. Because he's been holding that since the match ended.
Well, here's the thing. You know. You can never believe Hogan, but he said that in a house show match with Rikishi leading up to this, he cracked a rib. So,
oh no.
But he is such a bullshitter. He's hard to believe with anything.
Yeah. We get the replay of the handshake.
Yeah, he even has a backstory. He's like, oh, I was distracted with my family at a house show in Tampa, and Rikishi cracked one of my ribs, brother.
Yeah, because Hogan never performed in front of his family before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at he points at the sign, putting himself over. And he's doing the four life, brother. That match was awesome, brother.
Yeah, walking out together. Oh, yeah. Hogan does not have a good track record at Mania in Toronto, though.
Look at him. He's like, there is no one touching these guys for a while here tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt bad for the ladies having to follow this one.
Look at it. One more. Hogan knows one more time, man. And hey, Rock's last WrestleMania appearance, he does the same thing with Cena as before they go out. This is apropos with that.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So all right. Rock might have learned a thing or two tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we go to WWF New York, where I actually went a couple times.
Oh, yeah? I went once,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, when I was freelancing at the time, I was working at MTV Networks right down the street from there. So went there for lunch a couple of times and actually would walk in like to the shop, like if I was there late and I had some time to kill before catching the train home. So it's now the I don't think it's the Hard Rock anymore. I don't even know what it is anymore. But anyway, all right, fun match, guys. So let's go around and rate the match. So, Ryan, we're going to start with you.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4.5 stars, man. The story, the structure, the excitement were all top notch. The psychology was the best part of this match. They had everything but in the palm of their hands. So if I would rate all those categories, I'd go 5 with them across. Just the work rate, I'm going to 3 just because you got to be a little stickler, but that's a perfect, totally fun, awesome kick-ass match. It should be on, like, the match alone is an all-time match, so it should be on any pedestal, but just the kind of little formula I have, I just got to kick it a little bit, and I hate doing it, but I'm going to go 4.5.
All right. Logan?
Yeah, I was debating between 4 and 4.5, but after watching it this time and just kind of talking through it, I'm going to go with Ryan, go 4.5. Just everything about it, the electricity throughout the whole match, you know, The Rock even having so much knowledge and being able to change kind of how the match was going to be played on the fly, just based on the crowd response, all that kind of stuff is just, it's super incredible. It's fun to watch, and I'll always enjoy this match. So, yeah, I'll go with Ryan on 4.5.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I just don't want to go like a perfect 5 on my first one. So I'm going to go 4.5 as well. Like I said earlier, it's, you know, work rate. It's not a work rate match. This is a spectacle. It's the moment. This is a WrestleMania match. It's all about the crowd. It's about the moment. These guys did a masterclass in the crowd and playing heel, playing face, going back and forth, getting people to bite. Like I like what that's one of the reasons I love this match. I said I bit. I was so invested into this match as it was going that I couldn't believe it. I probably had my hand on my head. I was like, you know, probably was like a lot of holy shit, like, oh my gods, coming out of my mouth at the time. So yeah, 4.5. All right. So historical value. Logan, you know, you're more of a veteran, so why don't you start in, on this kind of that way I could follow your lead on this part of the
game. Yeah, I got you. But yeah, I think this is a very historically significant. I think a lot of the guys, that were kind of coming up at this point will look at this match as a way to kind of to just have the crowd in the palm of your hands, a way to, maybe make that change in the middle of a match based on the crowd response. I think a lot of guys probably watch this match as a way to kind of figure out how to work a match and, maybe change things on the fly. It starts the red and yellow again. He gets another title run. Now, while that title run might not be the best, it was a significant stamp on the end of his career. He wrestles throughout most of 02, and then he comes back in 03 for the Vince match. So signifying the beginning of his last little run that he goes through. He pops back in here and there, obviously, with the SummerSlam matches that he had with Michaels and Orton, but this is his last like real run, I'd say. And it kind of signifies the end of the Rock's run at the same time. He comes back at SummerSlam or he comes back for the SummerSlam match with Brock and he wins the title one more time as well. But then he goes off and does movie or after WrestleMania, he actually goes off and does, I think the Scorpion King or he at least advertises for it. He comes back, wins the belt, faces Brock and then kind of goes away again. And that sets up for his Hollywood Rock run. So, I mean, it just sets up a lot of good stuff. Depending on where you vary on Hogan's run after this, I think it's, awesome to see him back in the red and yellow, and the match with Vince the next year is a good kind of capper for him as well there. So I probably go like 4 on it just because I think that there's some, there's the in-ring stuff isn't the greatest for Hogan. The Rock's kind of gone for a lot of time after this. But the stuff he does do when he comes back is pretty great. So 4 seems to be a good spot for me as far as I'd go on that one.
All right. Ryan, what's your rating on historical significance or value of this match?
Well, it's kind of an outlier for what would become icon for icon matches. Well, mm-hmm. I alluded to the Cena Rock match. That was kind of a carbon copy of the exit to this. Coming and then the Cena Roman icon versus icon match recently was kind of a carbon copy of that for build, where just generations face each other. This might be like the first time where that kind of happens, or this mm-hmm. might be the first time where this kind of maybe Hulk and Andre's a different type of generational thing, but this is like the first time in a long time where generations collide and it really totally delivers. It's the last time Hulk wears the black and the white, so I think that is iconically historical too. Like Logan alluded to, that propels Hulk into it's a mediocre title run, but it's a beautiful stamp on the end of his career. Business is up a little bit with the red and the yellow. The buzz is up. Hulk gets a little more legs out of it, so I don't know if that happens, if this historically isn't such a hit. With The Rock, it's the last time where he is that token babyface. Well, before really it sets him up to come back with an iconic run that leads to a beautiful Brock match at SummerSlam and really solidifies Brock too. So by him beating Hogan here, really in 4 months sets him up to lose to The Rock, Brock being even more meaningful too. So there's a ton of poker chips moving here, and they really, cachet is really kind of hammered in here, and they, with the Cena stuff later on, with the Brock stuff leading on, this win really solidifies Rock, because The Rock really is like a 50-50 guy, believe it or not, because he loses a lot too, but with his wins, he still has 2 wins over Hogan, the first one being here. That's something that he can always put a stamp on in a feud too. So historically, I would play this very important. I go a little tick up. I go 4.25, about a little bit more there, 4.25 above what Logan had. But the work rate, and you don't really get much longevity out of it because you get more like bursts out of it, but the longevity, because these guys are both at the end of their careers for the most part, at full time rate anyways. So that does hurt a little bit too. And the work isn't amazing, but everything else is just epic and beautiful. So I'm going to go 4.25 with historical value.
All right. I'm going to bump it up a little bit. I'm going to go 4.5 just because, you know, like if you ask me, you know, to pick a match for this show, this was the first one I actually thought of. It's a passing of the torch, if you will. It's a nice little beginning of Hogan getting his, you know, nice run into the sunset. It signifies, you know, maybe, you know, the NWO can go do something else. He, you know, The Rock is moving on to Hollywood soon, like we talked about. But yeah, it's just a match that you could watch at any time, any place, and it will still bring emotion out of you, I think. To just watching this match 3 times in the last month, I would think, just brought that out every time. Like literally watching with you guys here with the sound off, watching it last night, watching it. It just, I feel the same way every time. I still pop when I'm supposed to pop. It's just, yeah, and it's just everything about it is just so great, just in my opinion. So I'm doing math here. So carry the 2 minus 4. All right. So yeah, this is officially a pedestal match because we got a 3.5 across the board on the feud and the bill. We got a 4.5 across the board on the match and a 4.3725 on the historical value. So it's pedestal worthy. So that's awesome, guys. Really, really great.
Yeah, so, warranted too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't pick a stinker for my first one. You know, I didn't go in the opposite direction. Which one should be in the PTBN toilet bowl, I guess. new pod idea right there.
Yeah, I was just saying, your pod idea when we
is it flushable or is it not flushable? we watch shitty matches. All right, cool. All right, very cool. So, guys, I want to thank you both for being here. But before we call it a night, let's go around the horn and say where you can be found on social media and any other pods you would like to direct people to. Logan, we'll start with you.
I'm at Highway P2BN on Twitter, Highway to the Impact Zone, like we talked about earlier, Chicken Salad, Wrestling and Popcorn. Obviously, we watch movies on Popcorn and we review bad pay-per-views on the wrestling version. So Cronoso Daily, like we talked about earlier as well, from Squared Circle to Silver Screen. Listen to all the feeds, all the people. They're all great. The Quadapods, everything. I enjoy it all, and I know anybody that listens to any of it will too. So just listen to everything.
All right. Ryan, what do you got?
Shit, I don't even know what my Twitter is. Ryan Gray 1109. I'm not really on it a lot, but if you want to reach me, you can hit me there, or you can hit me up on Facebook. I'm always around there too. That's cool. But yeah, I'm if I preview the WWE pay-per-views current day, which is a task within its own, but someone's going to do it, and I make the best of it. And Logan's been on with me a few times, and maybe Andy, we can get you on sooner or later on that too. And then, every week or every 2 weeks or so, I'm on Cronoso Daily, where we go trudge through the pay-per-view in Saturday Night Main Event era and make our way up and see where it goes. But that's always a hit, and it's easy, it's fun, and it's about 10 minutes a day, so there's not much investment, and it's a super fun way just to kind of fit us in daily and to truck through the beginning of time with the WWE. So that's super fun, and just like tonight. Thank you, Andy, for having me.
All right, no problem. As for me, I do have Evolution coming back soon, and working on getting Wrestling's Great Debate back as well. Just only so many hours in the day sometimes. But my primary home, on the feed that I personally manage, is the PlayStation Pop Experience. I am part of a lot of great shows there with a lot of tremendous co-hosts. Pop Goes to the Couch is dropping. We may start upping it a little bit. We may shorten our breaks between, but we do cover the streaming shows on there, particularly more in the nerd geek sector. So we'll be starting Moon Knight soon, and also looking forward to The Boys. and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Lots of great stuff there. You can check me out as well on the Most Sensational, Inspirational, Celebrational, Muppetational podcast with Miranda Berthel. That will be dropping monthly. Pop Goes to Classics Disney. That is myself, Miranda, and Steve Riddle. We are going through the animated Disney classic films. The latest drop is Little Mermaid, actually dropping the week of this recording. What else do I have out there? I have Laughing Theater coming back soon, as well as Blockbuster Rewatch. Those I do as pods, and also I do them on Stream Lounge. So check me out over there. I am currently doing an MCU rewatch every other Wednesday. As of this recording, my next one will be with Tim Capel, watching Avengers Age of Ultron. I can't believe I'm already up to the end of Phase 2 on that rewatch. And starting soon, Miranda and Shiflet and I will be doing Harry Potter, starting at Sorcerer's Stone. We're going to be doing that once a month on the Sunday at 3 p.m. for your listening pleasure, based on Miranda being on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. So don't forget, check out all the quad pods here. Like the guys talking about the No-So North-South Connection, lots of a great mix of wrestling, pop culture, and sports. The Jenny Position, lots of wonderful shows curated by Jennifer Smith, and the PlaceNation Pop Experience. Check out PlaceNation.com each and every day. All the pods are featured there, as well as a bunch of articles. Steve Riddle writes a few. We have Paulie's Perspective. Michael Dedamos is doing a look back at the GWWE from a few years ago, as well as the reveal of the GWCW. We're almost done revealing that with the great Tyler Kelly putting all that work into it. Also, a place to be, Facebook group. Lots of great, fun activities, communities, tournaments. The greatest WrestleMania build is going on right now. Kind of WrestleMania season we're in the middle of. That's why we're doing this show right now, because this is from a WrestleMania. So it was a lot of fun, though. I really did enjoy this. Thank you guys for welcoming me back to a wrestling show. It's been, like I said, it's been a bit since I've done a wrestling show. I do enjoy it, though, tremendous, and I couldn't think of two better guys to do it with. And thank you to the rest of the pedestal crew as well, and to the Podfather for running the place here. Okay, so for Logan Crosland and Ryan Gray, I am Andy Atherton. Thank you for joining us on PTBN Pedestal. And we'll see you, or somebody will see you, will be here in 2 weeks. Talk to you then.